All right. We got to talk about the woman who touched Jesus this morning. Man, she had spent every penny she had. She had tried every human effort to try to do something about her condition. Nothing worked. Not all the human effort in the world can really heal the problem in our hearts. Only Jesus can. And how awesome it was that not only did he heal her, but he turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" He wanted to know her. He wanted her to know him. And we all know that in the process there, Mark chapter 5, he'd already been called to another location by Jairus. And Jairus had a really important thing that he had asked of Jesus. And it was that his little daughter was lying in the point of death, at the point of death. And he called for Jesus to come and lay hands on her that she might be healed and would live. And so that was where he was en route to going whenever he had this little detour. And he took the time to know this woman. He took the time to personally touch this woman in the crowd so that she could have the true healing, the spiritual healing. Now, if you were Jairus, you might be thinking, "Come on, let's go. We got to hurry up. Can't be stopping because some woman who's touched you. What's going on?" And we all know that in verse 34, Jesus said to that woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Affliction. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. Then he says, "While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?'" I'm going to tell you something, guys. Sometimes we're going to pray, and it's just going to seem like things got worse. You know? Have you ever been there? Like you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, and rather than things getting better, it seems like they're getting worse. What do you do? Well, Jesus has got... He's got the answer right here in verse 36. "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue..." Man, can you imagine how his heart must have sank at that moment? He's seeing the crowd. He's seeing the woman that just got healed. I'm sure he's excited and he's thinking, "Yeah, I've called on the right one. If he can just get there in time, she'll be healed." And he hears his daughter's dead. Jesus turned to him and he said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now, I'm just going to tell you guys, it's going to be a hard one there. It's going to be real hard. If you just heard that your child's dead, and you're thinking, "Well, man, if you just hadn't stopped and talked to that lady, we might have made it." I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know. But all I'm saying is, Jesus is saying, "I still got a plan. I got a plan. Trust me. Trust me. Do not be afraid. Only believe." Do y'all remember what he told the disciples who were in the boat just a little bit earlier in Mark? They were out there and the waves were coming over the boat. What was Jesus doing? He was asleep. He was taking a nap in the back of the boat. And they're fixed. They think they're dying, man. I mean, the water's coming over the sides of the boat. We're going to sink. Jesus, what's wrong with you? You're just going to let us die? You remember what he said? "Why are you afraid? Why do you have no faith?" You know, I know that this is always convicting. It convicts me to say these words because sometimes I get scared. Sometimes I'm afraid. But guys, ultimately, we've got to watch being led by our fear and not by faith. Amen. We'll have to deal with what to do with the fear. But when we are faced with fear, we have got to choose to be led by faith. Fear will not lead us in the right direction. Now, is fear a natural emotion? Absolutely. Is fear even a good emotion sometimes? Absolutely. That emotion at first tells you that you either need to fight the problem or run from the problem or do something about the problem. It's not a bad thing that we got to do something, but we better make sure that first something we do is to turn to God in faith and get his plan. If we'll get his plan, his plan is going to be the right plan, and he's got the right plan right here, because you know what's happening? Is they're saying there's no use in bringing him because he's powerless to do anything now. The girl's dead. He's powerless over death. He might have been powerful enough to heal her, but now that she's dead, we all know he's powerless whenever it comes to this. Death, nobody can do anything about. You notice Jesus didn't turn to everybody and say, "Hey guys, have a little faith and come on." He turned to the dad, the ruler of the synagogue. He turned to the one who was most involved, the one who had asked him to come. And he said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And faith becomes the opposite of the fear at that point, and we need to choose to follow the faith. Verse 37, and he permitted no one to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Okay, now what did we learn about the crowd earlier? What were they doing to him? They were pressing in against him. The word that's used there is they thronged him. Man, they were all over him. They were hanging on him. This lady who was trying to get to him to be healed, I mean, she had to like sneak through the crowd, get through the crowd and just touch the hem of his garment to be healed. But look at the power that he has even over the group that's following him. How in the world did he ever get them to all stay back? I mean, it's the power of Christ, guys. When he draws, we come. If he pushes, you know, away, he has the power. He has the power to command the crowd if he really desires to. So he only permitted three to go with him of his disciples. And it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Can you imagine what the rest of the crowd must have thought? Oh, man, what's going to happen now? Oh, come on, let us all go. I mean, what's going to happen? What can he do about this? The person's dead. I mean, what's the use? Why are they wasting his time? But I'm going to tell you, whenever God says no to our prayer, or he says wait, or he looks like he's going to be late, I want you to know God's never late. He's just got a better plan. I prayed he would heal my mom. He said no. Not mad at him for that. He had a better plan. I prayed he would heal my dad. He said no. Not mad at him. He had a better plan. I tried to convince him. I said, "God, just think how awesome it'd look like if you heal him. You know, because everybody will know it's you, because the doctors already said they can't do nothing." And he said no. He had a better plan.
Yeah.
It's not the end for my dad. It's not the end for my mom. There's something ahead of them, and they're already there, and they're waiting for me. They're waiting for us. Can you imagine what a reunion that'll be? But in this particular case, he had a purpose for what he was about to do to display his power and his glory. He wanted them to understand he had power over death. And so then he came to the house of the ruler in verse 38, the ruler of a synagogue, and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. Do you know they actually, I mean, like, at least to some degree, like, sometimes, you know, like the family would weep. The family would be sad. But did you know they actually had paid wailers? Whenever I learned about that, it's kind of freaked me out. You know? Have you ever had something like really bad happen to you and you felt like it had you in shock and you just couldn't even cry? Like, that's happened to me before. I'm going to be honest. I hardly cried about my dad dying until it was like months later. And then one day, somebody said something that triggered something in me and I wept for a long time over it. It really broke me, you know. And at first I thought, well, maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe I didn't love him like I should or something, because I just didn't cry. Well, you see, I think they might have felt kind of the same way. And so they actually had people that would come and wail for them. And they would really make an issue of it. And they would make it very clear that, man, there was great sadness over this person that had passed. Now, I don't know for sure in this one, but by the way it's being described, there was a great tumult. I don't really know exactly what was going on here, if these were paid wailers, but it wouldn't surprise me if you didn't have some of that being connected to this because of the way it's described. Verse 39, When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? And the reason why I kind of feel like it was something along these lines is because we don't see a whole lot of compassion at this particular time. You know, do you remember whenever he went and he saw Lazarus and his two sisters? And whenever he saw their pain, he wept. Like he did, he wept with them. And here we kind of get the impression that, he's definitely, he knows what he's going to do. And irregardless of how they were weeping, why they were weeping, or whatever was going on, he said, y'all don't need to do that because something's going to change here in just about a second. You ain't going to be weeping for too much longer. And he said, the child is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him. Who were the ones with him? Peter, James, and John. And mom and dad. Those are the people who were definitely connected to this situation. These were the people who definitely had faith. These were the people. This was the man who had come and fallen down before him and worshipped him right before this and asked him to come and help because they believed he was the only one who could help. And he wants to prove to him something. Death to God is only like sleep. This is no problem. This is not a problem. Now, in the world, we think death is the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to us. I don't want it before it's time. But I'm going to tell you, that ain't the worst thing that could happen to me. Right. Worst thing that could happen to me is to be separated from God's goodness forever. And Jesus already, he's got the plan for that. And so I know he can take care of my physical being, my life. And I know that whenever it's time for me to go with him, it'll be the most glorious thing that ever happened. Yes. And so they ridiculed him, but he put them all outside. And he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him. And he entered where the house was lying. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi. Talitha kumi. Which is translated, little child, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose. Remember that word immediately? We talked about that. We see a lot of immediately's in Mark. And this kind of also proves another point. This is a sideline and I don't want to get distracted on it. But you remember when we began the book of Mark, we decided that it most likely is true what is commonly believed and historically believed and said throughout church history that Peter probably inspired the writing of this through Mark. He was probably the one to share the details with him. It almost had to have been Peter because we just had Peter, James, and John who were there. And so who would have known what he said when he was standing there unless it wasn't one of them who was there to see it. And so we see that he just simply told the girl to arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Boy, I don't know how they're going to miss that one, brothers and sisters. Yeah, especially all those people he told to get out of the house. And so they're out there waiting outside. And when they see this little girl walk out, what do you think they're going to think? They're going to say, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, guys. Jesus still has the power over life and death. Jesus still has the power to raise the dead. He raised Lazarus. He raised his little girl. And he raised himself on the third day. Holy Spirit power raised Jesus on the third day. And it says, just like he was raised, so will all of us be raised in that day. Guys, you can know it. You can know it for sure. And I just want you to know, I have seen him bring more than one person back from death. Jesus still raises the dead today. Do you know what they call the Christians in China? Ones who raise the dead. Jesus still, by the prayers of his saints, have raised people from the dead today. We don't get into that, and we get scared by that, because that he don't choose to do that for everybody. But I have seen him do it for some. And what I got to say is, it's not us that have the power to raise the dead. Jesus that has the power to raise the dead. And he can do it through the prayers of his saints because he's pleased to display his glorious power still today where it's his will. Yes? Amen. 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 Y'all remember that day Johnny Hobson fell down up here at the front of the church? He was not breathing. His heart wasn't beating. I don't know what happened to him. Doctors didn't even know for sure exactly what happened to him. But I know one thing. I checked him. He did not have a pulse. And I prayed over that man down here as we continued to try to lead the worship in this church. I'm going to tell you, God brought him back alive. You know, and I'm hesitant to really talk about it because I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about me. It didn't have nothing to do with me. It had all to do with God and his glory. And you know, I wouldn't even probably say it if Johnny was around unless he wanted me to say it, because he doesn't want to be the center of attention either. But, you know, they took him to the hospital and they never did decide what happened to him or what caused it. I just know that I saw it. I know he wasn't breathing. I know his heart wasn't beating, and that's what we call dead. And I saw, whenever I prayed over him with my hands on him, it was like almost like an electric shock hit him, and he gasped in a breath. There wasn't no amount of shaking that dead man going to help him wake up, but I can tell you, God woke him up. We've had others, you know, that have passed, and there wasn't any amount of praying over him going to bring him back to life. It was God's time to take him. You know, Brother Harold, right back there in our foyer, he went on to be with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, that was glorious too. Harold wanted to be in this church. He wanted, I am shocked by the amazing love that he had for me. But he wanted to be in that church to give me a hug and a holy kiss before he passed. And I want to say, I come up the steps that morning, and man, I could tell he was looking really, really weak. And I said, Harold, you don't have to stand up. And he said, oh, yes, I do. I have to stand up to give my pastor a hug. And I'm going to tell you, he didn't make it in here for worship. He made it up there for worship that day. And a lot of people say, man, wasn't that weird for him to die at church and stuff? You know, what'd you do about that? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. His wife had loving church family all around her to help her through that time too. God ordained it. God ordained it. And Brother Harold went to be with the Lord that day. And Shelley even admitted she was thinking, man, it's a shame he didn't make it in here to worship. And then she thought, he made it up there. He's in the presence of Christ now. It's way better. Praise the Lord, you know. And so that wasn't that God was weak, so Harold didn't come. It was time for Harold to go. It was time for him to be with the Lord. And it was a glorious time for him to go. But it wasn't this little girl's time yet. And God had a plan. And just because of that little delay, and just because that messenger came and said, there's no hope, that didn't stop Jesus' power at all. I can tell you, he took the ones who had mustard seed faith in with him, and he raised that little girl. I want to praise God. God is good. He is powerful. He loves you. He's got a plan for you as long as he's giving you breath. He's got a plan for you to be here, and you are not going to accidentally slip out of this world someday. You are in God's hands. Let me pray for you. And dear Father, just want to thank you, Lord. You are good. You are awesome. You are amazing. You have power, not only over life and death. Lord, you have the power even after death. You have the power of eternal life. And we want to praise you, Lord. We do not have to be afraid whenever it comes to the condition of our life. Lord, I'll be honest. I pretty well convinced myself I wasn't going to do any of the treatments for this whole rabies thing. I thought, I lay there and I thought, you know, what? I know I won't go anywhere till God's ready. You woke me up in the middle of the night, and you impressed upon my heart that I was being presumptuous and I was being selfish. Because I thought, man, you know what's better? Whenever my time comes, I'll be ready. But God, you weren't ready to take me home yet. And you had an encounter for me. And maybe it was that lady that I had a chance to witness to at the hospital. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody I'm going to witness to on the last of the SHOT series. I don't know. But I know I just want to be faithful. And I want to do what you show me to do while I'm here. So God, I want to thank you for leading us in a walk of faith. You led Jairus to go get Jesus. And even though there was a slight delay, even though there was some lady who had a 12-year problem that needed to be healed and brought into a relationship with you, that was just like extra icing on the cake for what you had planned. None of this took you by surprise. And Lord, just because somebody is at the point of death, or even if it seems like all hope is gone, you're the God who can raise the dead. You're the God who is the resurrection and the life. And so, Lord, help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.